This morning, America's first news starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Short on funding. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Wednesday, October 27. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Senate Democrats are uniting around a new tax on big businesses to pay for their social spending, but other revenue efforts are still coming up short.
A federal advisory panel for the FDA is recommending the Pfizer COVID vaccine for kids ages 5 to 11.
The gunman accused of the deadly mall shooting in Boise, Idaho, has died from injuries suffered in Monday's attack.
And some Americans are panic shopping again as they fear supply chain disruptions.
There's huge labor shortage issues that are impacting how fast we can transport goods to homes. And then the root of the issue is also where a lot of items are produced, specifically in China, where they have a zero tolerance policy for cases of COVID. If one case is found in a factory, they'll shut it down for weeks.
Elizabeth Buchwald at MarketWatch on panic shopping for items other than toilet paper. Senate Democrats have announced a 15% minimum tax on large companies' income as they try to generate enough money to pay for President Biden's social spending and climate change agenda. The proposal was endorsed yesterday by Arizona Democrat Kyrsten Sinema after saying no to other forms of tax increases. Among those hardest hit by this tax, manufacturers and tech companies, because the tax breaks they currently benefit from, like expensing capital investments or stock options, would effectively be limited, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
I believe a final deal is within reach. Democrats will keep working until we're able to reach an agreement and pass this transformational legislation.
The 15% corporate minimum tax proposed yesterday, by the way, is different from the 15% global minimum tax that the U.S. has been pushing in international negotiations. Meanwhile, a final push by Democrats to fund their massive spending package is still on shaky ground, with a proposed tax on billionaires running into opposition from party lawmakers. Well, Democrats on Capitol Hill are scrambling to make a Sunday deadline to complete two big parts of President Biden's economic agenda. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi earlier this month, you'll recall, set a new deadline of October 31st for the House to pass a $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill and achieve consensus on a bigger budget bill that includes a number of liberal policies like subsidizing childcare and fighting climate change. A status update now from Savannah Berman, congressional reporter at USA Today. Savannah, where are we?
Yeah, so, I mean, going into this week, every Democrat said that they want a deal ASAP. And Democratic leaders had put October 31st as the deadline to pass that $1.2 trillion you just mentioned, the bipartisan infrastructure deal, and to get an agreement on framework for the larger budget spending bill. Now, Pelosi had said earlier this month that something needed to happen and be done before October 31st, as that's when the 30-day reauthorization of the federal highway program expires, and the bipartisan infrastructure deal would address some of those issues. But they're not going to be able to pass that in the House unless something is done on that larger budget reconciliation bill that satisfies progressives. Now, last month, they had held up a vote on the separate infrastructure deal. They're two separate tracks here because the reconciliation bill wasn't completed. And they were saying, well, we're not going to vote on the bipartisan one now if we're not done with the reconciliation bill. So they're wanting framework, a vote, something to be done before they allow the House to vote on the bipartisan infrastructure deal.
This is really going down to the wire. I mean, is there a sense that something ultimately will get done, or is it still maybe 50-50?
You know, if you talk to Democratic senators on the Hill, they're optimistic. Manchin said that he expects a deal could be done this week. Durbin saying that he expects something could be done. So everyone you're talking to is seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, but Schumer said yesterday they're still working through at least 3 to 4 issues. And those are some really big issues that they need to work through. So they sound optimistic, but we'll see if that really pans out.
All right. So and still the possibility that some of the items or proposals in at least the social spending and climate bill are going to get trimmed.
Absolutely. Yes. So, I mean, during a CNN town hall last week, President Biden said outright that the tuition-free college, which carries a cost of about $109 billion, will likely be cut out. He said that his $225 billion plan to provide 3 months of paid family and medical leave will likely be cut down from 4 to 12 weeks. So there are a lot of areas that they're trimming to get this bill, which was originally proposed at $3.5 trillion, down to a level that will satisfy Manchin and Sinema, the moderates in the Senate. Manchin said he really doesn't want to go above $1.5 trillion, but there's a number of $1.75 trillion that's been floated around in these negotiations as a possible top line.
And that's way down from what Senator Bernie Sanders had initially proposed, which was $6 trillion, correct?
Yes, yes. So, I mean, if you talk to progressives, they were saying that they thought the $3 trillion was the compromise. They said that they could have doubled the $3 trillion at $6 trillion. Congresswoman Jayapal was saying the same thing all last month. So it sounds like they might be okay with a 1.75 and try to do some of these initiatives again in the future. But yeah, this is really down from what progressives were wanting to spend.
Mm. We're speaking with Savannah Berman, congressional reporter at USA Today. Her story is called Childcare, Climate Change, and $1.2 trillion worth of other initiatives face a Halloween deadline. Here's where we are. There's the pressure, too, to get President Biden something in hand as he goes to this climate meeting in Scotland, too, right? Mm-hmm. There's part of that pressure.
Absolutely. Biden was telling he had a meeting with Manchin and Schumer up in Delaware over the weekend, and he was telling them that he wants something done, something on his desk before he leaves for Europe on Thursday. That's a really big push. There's a lot of issues that they're working out to try to get something done in just a few days. But he was saying that that would be very positive and that he wants something done before he leaves. But that means ironing out issues on framework for the budget reconciliation bill, having the House then pass the separate bipartisan infrastructure deal to get that to his desk. So that's a lot of issues to work out in a really short amount of time.
Hey, Savannah Berman, congressional reporter at USA Today. Authorities in Idaho say a man who opened fire with a handgun at a shopping mall in Boise, killing two people and injuring several others, has died from wounds sustained during the violence on Monday. Investigators have yet to determine whether the fatal injuries resulted from an exchange of gunfire with police at the scene or from a self-inflicted gunshot wound before he was taken into custody. Boise Police Chief Ryan Lee says the motive remained under investigation. The attack happened at Boise Town Square Mall on the west end of Idaho's capital.
We had had contact with him in the past. We did not have any reason to arrest him. He was a known subject. He is the subject of other police reports.
The suspect was publicly identified yesterday as 27-year-old Jacob Bergquist, a resident of Boise. Police said he's had previous run-ins for disruptive behavior. Police asked social media companies to preserve Mr. Bergquist's accounts so investigators could look for clues as to his mindset. Coming up next, a COVID vaccine for kids gets the okay.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you. And to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the Windows PCs and tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
Glad you could spend some time with us. An advisory committee has voted unanimously to authorize use of Pfizer's COVID vaccine in children ages 5 to 11. Children are far less likely than adults to be hospitalized with COVID or suffer long-term consequences from the disease, putting a higher burden on the vaccine to prove safe and effective to justify its risk. The committee said that although they are concerned about the unknowns, they felt Pfizer's vaccine is likely to benefit far more children than it will harm. Dr. Francis Collins, director of the National Institutes of Health, was on ABC.
Parents have dealt with other vaccinations for other diseases. This one, in terms of the data, and the data is all public, looks really good.
Hundreds of children ages 5 to 11 have been hospitalized for COVID, and 94 of them have died this year. The vaccine would be given to kids ages 5 to 11 in two shots, at one-third of the dose given to adults and adolescents. Separately, the CDC now says that some immunocompromised people who have received either Pfizer or Moderna's COVID vaccines will be able to get a fourth shot. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Senate Democrats have unveiled more details about their proposal to implement a 15% minimum tax on corporate profits as part of their efforts to cover the cost of President Biden's social spending bill. The measure would apply to about 200 companies that report more than $1 billion in annual profits. Democratic Congresswoman Joyce Beatty of Ohio says lawmakers are inching toward compromise.
The president has a plan that we support it, and you've heard from a whole host of us, from everything from issues that deal with housing and child care and women's issue and immigration will be represented.
Moderate Senator Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona says she supports the proposed minimum tax, a positive step for Democrats scrambling to reach a consensus.
Number two.
Law enforcement officials in the U.S. and Europe have arrested 150 people and seized more than $31 million in international drug trafficking investigation stemming from sales on the darknet. U.S. Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco says hundreds of thousands of counterfeit pills were seized.
We saw darknet drug vendors running laboratories at home, creating fake pills with pill presses, pills styled to look like OxyContin, Xanax, or Adderall.
The arrest, the result of a 10-month investigation between officials in the U.S. and Europe, all in Europe.
Number three.
The suspect in the shooting that killed two people and injured four others in a Boise mall has died. The four injured victims, including a city police officer, are all expected to survive. Boise Police Chief Ryan Lee identified the shooter as 27-year-old Jacob Berquist.
We had had contact with him in the past. We did not have any reason to arrest him. He was a known subject. He is the subject of other police reports.
The two deceased victims were identified as 26-year-old Joe Acker and 49-year-old Roberto Argulas. A law firm hired by the NCAA to investigate equity issues has found the NCAA spends much more on male athletes than female ones. Spending per Division I and national championship participants, excluding basketball, was about $1,700 less for women's participants than men's. The report includes a series of recommendations to improve that gap. Well, who knew? Lemurs can sing with a sense of rhythm similar to humans. Researchers studied a type of lemur living in the rainforests of Madagascar and found they can sing with rhythm. Researchers are studying the animals to figure out how and when musical traits first appeared in humans.
It's quite a thing to research, I guess. Singing lemurs.
Yep.
Thanks, Jen. Coming up next, Americans are panic shopping again.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Glad you're with us. Concerns about shortages stemming from supply chain disruptions, product of global labor shortages and factory shutdowns, appear to be leading some Americans to hoard goods again. More from Elizabeth Buchwald, reporter at MarketWatch. Elizabeth, what are you hearing?
Hearing things that are a little bit eerie, whereas it's been a year and a half since the pandemic started, and people have gotten used to going back to stores and finding everything that they want, and all of a sudden there are shelves that are empty again, and people are panicking. This time it's not the flight to safety from COVID and fears that you won't be able to leave your home for weeks. It's more so that there's supply chain issues that are causing shortages or lags in getting shipments for stores. And people are worried. They want to be prepared.
So you open the story with this woman, Natalie Allen, young mother who's sort of in panic mode because she's got a baby at home now. Explain her story.
Yeah, so she was one of those people at the beginning of the pandemic that didn't panic at all. She was pretty much under control, didn't worry much. But having a six-week-old who only has the Sam's Club generic baby formula is putting her anxiety levels very high. She's entirely dependent on this supply chain and worries that if for some reason something goes wrong, there's no plan B. She doesn't know if her child is going to like another formula. She's worked out the budgeting for this one. It's the cheapest she's found. And that's why she's heading to Sam's Club and buying hundreds of dollars worth of this just to make sure that she could get through the next months and won't have to worry about it.
Yeah. You do start to think differently as a parent sometimes, right? It's different. It's just different. What about though this agreement that President Biden struck with the port of Los Angeles, where we're going to be unloading these ships more frequently?
Yeah, they switched to 24/7, which a lot of experts are saying won't make that much of a dent. Of course, it can't really hurt things. There have been bottlenecks, and some retailers have tried to get around that by just kind of doing it themselves and not relying on others. But the end of the day is there's huge labor shortage issues that are impacting how fast we can transport goods to homes. And then the root of the issue is also where a lot of items are produced, specifically in China, where they have a zero tolerance policy for cases of COVID. If one case is found in a factory, they'll shut it down for weeks. Of course, that will then, you know, that's the very tip of the supply chain, and that will slow things down too. So I think it will only have a small effect in terms of speeding up this whole supply chain.
Okay. And to be clear, not everybody is doing the stocking up kind of shopping, right?
Right. It's kind of early phases of that. We're getting little hints of it. There are people that are buying Thanksgiving meals right now, a whole month early, or people that are doing holiday shopping now since retailers have warned about delays with presents and whatnot. But the essentials thing is kind of a muted trend for now, but there are glimmers that this could become a bigger thing as more people become worried and see empty shelves and just go back to that panic mode.
Elizabeth Buchwald at MarketWatch. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. So the year plus of remote meetings is ending, right? Time to get back to the office. So about that beard. If you've realized the scruffy look that worked on a webcam isn't fitting the all-business look you're trying to get back to, don't worry. Harry's can help. Harry's crafts high-quality, long-lasting blades and durable, weighted handles that make a close, comfortable shave quick and, believe it or not, enjoyable. And refill blades start as low as $2. New customers can get started with Harry's with a starter set, a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover, usually $13. For just $3. The starter set and the incredibly close shave convinced me right away to switch to Harry's. I've been using Harry's for years. I think you'll love it too. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/deal to get their starter set for just $3. 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so you've got nothing to lose. harrys.com/deal to get the special offer. HARRYS. harrys.com/deal.
We are America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us, and welcome into Wednesday, October 27. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Democrats approve a new tax but are still short revenue needed for new spending plans. An advisory panel approves the Pfizer COVID vaccine for kids ages 5 to 11. Advertising revenue helped Google nearly double its third quarter profit. Wall Street Journal says Lennar is teaming up with a startup in Texas to build 100 3D printed homes near Austin. Braves win game one of the World Series, but lose pitcher Charlie Morton to a fractured leg. And a football player renovating a homeless shelter where he once lived. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Lightstream. Apply today for a fixed rate credit card consolidation loan, and you could save thousands in interest. Go to lightstream.com/deal. When U.S. borders open to foreign travelers on November 8th, the country will have lifted one of the longest standing restrictions imposed 19 months ago at the start of the pandemic, signaling a new phase of guarded optimism in the nation's battle with COVID. It's a story by Joe Barrett, senior Midwest correspondent at the Wall Street Journal. Joe, start with the basics.
Starting next week, foreign travelers who are vaccinated will be able to come into the U.S. for the first time since March 2020. you know, it is kind of a turning point. That was one of the first big restrictions that were, you know, put on everybody for COVID, and, you know, leading to all the lockdowns and stuff like that. So, you know, we're finally easing back off one of these things that's been in place for so long. So it does feel like a moment.
All right. One of the places you looked at was Buffalo, New York, which is going to welcome back, I guess, Canadians, you know, obviously by land across the land border. What does it mean for a place like Buffalo?
Yeah, they, you know, the economy there is really tied in with the Canadian economy. There, you know, there's a bridge over the Niagara River that, you know, brings in a lot of visitors. They're big sports fans. So 10% of the Buffalo Bills season ticket holders are from Canada. You know, a lot of hockey fans coming to see the Sabres games, and then, you know, shoppers and everything else. Especially when the currency is favorable, you'll get a crazy amount of Canadians coming over.
Right. Explain some of the good news on this front, and then shift a little bit to some of the bad news, maybe some of the stuff we're still watching with regards to COVID.
Yeah, well, the Delta variant is, you know, new cases are receding pretty much everywhere in the country now, which is, you know, obviously good news for everybody. Deaths are still pretty high, but that's kind of a lagging indicator to the cases, you know, that were people were catching, you know, weeks or months ago. But, you know, sort of the worrying signs are Britain has been through this, and they actually have a higher vaccination rate than us. So they started to reopen things, and they're hitting sort of a second wave of the Delta variant. So, you know, you never know when this thing is beat.
Yeah, and they have a higher vaccination rate than us.
That's right. Yeah, they've done a better job about getting the word out and getting people vaccinated. And so, yeah, it's a troubling.
Wow. We're speaking with Joe Barrett, senior Midwest correspondent at The Wall Street Journal. His piece is called U.S. COVID-19 Battle Turns a Corner as Borders Open to Foreign Travelers. Lots of folks have their eyes on that November 8th date. Of all things, pumpkin patches, you said, are doing well.
Yeah, they did pretty well last year because there wasn't a lot of other things for families to do. There was no sports or youth sports or, you know, stuff like that. But this year they're doing even better because there are fewer restrictions. You know, not everybody's wearing a mask. They're not so worried about social distancing. So, yeah, things are going gangbusters down at the pumpkin patch.
Still a struggle, though, at some of the national parks or monuments.
Yeah, you know, I looked at the Arch National Monument in St. Louis, just because I always think that one's an interesting one. And, you know, they can't get enough people in the elevators right now. You have to sort of be in your own family unit, so they can't pack people into the elevators up to the top of the arch. And they canceled a couple of annual events that bring in a lot of people. So this year they're doing better than last year, but not nearly, you know, pre-pandemic levels.
All right. So with the borders reopening to foreign nationals then, is there a sense that there's pent-up demand from overseas? Do folks from, say, the UK want to come here to the US?
I would assume there's some people who've been delaying their travel up until now. You know, I mean, business travel and trade and stuff like that has been going on if it was considered essential. But, yeah, I imagine there are some people who want to come see their family or, you know, make that trip to Broadway or whatever. So, yeah, I think so.
But on the restaurant side, you found an interesting example in Iowa with regards to supply chain stuff.
Yeah, they're still struggling, you know, restaurants with bringing in or having enough staff. And they're also, you know, short of certain items that are just caught in this sort of global supply chain. Apparently, chicken tenders are a hot item. And so I spoke with a guy who he owns like eight, or he's the chef and one of the owners of eight restaurants, and you know, he's going to Costco and Sam's Club and regular grocery stores just kind of buying every chicken nugget he can find, and then a bunch of other things that he's running out of.
Thanks, Joe Barrett, senior Midwest correspondent at the Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, 7 days in jail over a dispute worth 43 cents. No matter what kind of wireless plan you have from any of the big wireless providers, they've all got one thing in common: the catch. The part where too good to be true has too many extra charges to be worth it. But Mint Mobile figured it out. They offer premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. What's the catch? There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is they only sell wireless service online. No retail overhead saves them and you a lot of money. You can also keep your number and your phone, no losing your existing contacts, and get unlimited talk, text, and high-speed data on the nation's largest 5G network. again, for as low as $15 a month. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/Gordon. That's mintmobile.com/Gordon. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Gordon.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Wednesday. Time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we take a lot of time here spotlighting dumb things that criminals sometimes do. But in this case, the real crime might have been what was happening to a man who accidentally did something some of us might have done before. Pennsylvania prosecutors have dropped a felony charge against a man who underpaid for a bottle of Mountain Dew by 43 cents. In August, Joseph Sobolewski says he went to an Exxon store and saw a sign advertising two 20-ounce Mountain Dew bottles for $3. He says he took one bottle, slapped $2 on the counter for what he thought was a $1.50 soda, and walked out, not realizing the discount did not apply to a single bottle. The bottle really cost $2.29, so including tax, he owed the store 43 cents. State police found Sobolewski and arrested him on a felony charge. A judge ordered him held on $50,000 cash-only bond. He was in jail for 7 days before his public defender successfully argued for his release. Now, it should be noted that Sobolewski had twice in the past 10 years been charged with theft, once for not paying for a tank of gas and another time for stealing a pair of shoes from a store. So under Pennsylvania's three strikes law, a third theft charge must be a felony, regardless of the amount or value involved.
Man.
43 cents.
43 cents.
Sitting in jail.
7 days in jail.
Yeah.
$50,000 cash-only bond.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's tough. I get the three strikes thing, but...
Yeah. I mean, assuming he's telling the truth, and we don't know exactly what's going through his head. And yes, he does have a history of theft, obviously, which adds to this whole thing. But assuming he's telling the truth, you know, to go to jail for that long and have that kind of bond for a felony charge for a 43-cent mistake is it's a little much.
It does seem like he was right, though, because most of those things you see advertised when it says, you know, two for $3, that usually means...
Right,
they're just $1.50.
Right, that's a trick that they usually pull on you to try and get you to buy two. But most of the time, you just pay one.
Yeah,
So
if we are to trust him here,
right,
and you know, listen, his credibility is not very high,
right?
But this would have been a reasonable assumption he made.
That is true, and thankfully we didn't have to sweat this one out for too long. Only three batters into the 2021 World Series, America had already won free tacos. We can thank Braves second baseman Ozzie Albies for that. Albies used his speed to beat out an infield single in the top of the first inning of Game 1 against the Astros, then promptly stole second base to activate Taco Bell's nationwide steal a base, steal a taco promotion. The fast food restaurant's popular promotion is now, believe it or not, in its 10th year of offering a free taco to everyone in America if a player steals a base in the World Series. The free Nacho Cheese Doritos Locos Tacos will be available nationwide on Thursday, November 4th.
I've never taken advantage of that, have you?
I have not either, and we talk about it every single year when it happens, and I just forget when it happens.
I guess that's the thing, because it doesn't happen the very next day, right?
Right,
it's
yes.
Next Thursday.
Right, I think, you know, maybe that's, I don't want to, speculate here, I don't want to be cynical, but maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, not as many people probably take advantage, because it happens like a week later, and usually what happens is they wind up stealing the base early on, from what I remember when we've done this in past years, usually the first game or second game, so by the time we get to after the World Series is over and they give out the tacos, we've kind of forgotten about it.
Could be. I watched that top half of the inning. That game got off to a flying start.
Oh, yeah.
A home run to start the game, then the single, the stolen base, then a double. It was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Cue for us
to go to bed, right? We didn't have to stay up and watch it for 4 hours.
13 minutes in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. But to cruise through challenges, you need someone who's right there with you. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the Windows PCs and tech advice you need to get past whatever's in front of you and get where you want to go. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
Thanks for being with us. Don't forget to check out a podcast of the program. You can find it on our website, thismorningwithgordondeal.com, or on all the popular podcast platforms. Workers across the country are quitting their jobs in what's being called the Great Resignation, but some states are getting the lion's share of workers waving goodbye. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says Georgia, Illinois, and Kentucky saw the biggest jump in the number of quits between July and August of this year. Georgia saw around 35,000 more people quitting in August compared to July, while Illinois saw around 32,000 more and Kentucky 26,000 more. Across the country, there were a record 4.3 million quits in August. Before the pandemic, that number was around 3.5 million per month. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A panel of U.S. health advisors has endorsed kid-sized doses of Pfizer's COVID vaccine, moving the U.S. closer to beginning vaccinations in children ages 5 to 11. An FDA advisory panel decided the vaccine's benefits outweigh any potential risks. Chicago Health Commissioner Allison Arwadi says the shot should be soon available in many places.
Your child can be vaccinated at your pediatrician or your family doctor. We would love them to go to their regular provider. They can help them get caught up on other vaccines, answer questions.
The vaccines for younger kids must still be approved by the full FDA and CDC.
Number two.
Senators put executives from YouTube, TikTok, and Snapchat on the defensive yesterday, questioning them about what they're doing to ensure young users' safety on their platforms. Jennifer Stout, Vice President for Global Public Safety at Snapchat, was among those questioned at yesterday's hearing.
We intentionally make it harder for strangers to find minors by not allowing public profiles for users under 18. We have long deployed age-gating tools to prevent minors from viewing age-regulated content and ads.
Citing the harm that can come to vulnerable young people from the sites, lawmakers sought the executive's support for legislation bolstering protection of children on social media.
Number three.
A woman and her boyfriend have been arrested in the death of the woman's child, whose skeletal remains were found inside a Houston-area apartment with three surviving but apparently abandoned siblings. 32-year-old Brian Coulter, the boyfriend of the dead child's mother, has been charged with murder. One of the surviving siblings, a 15-year-old, called the sheriff's department Sunday and told authorities his 9-year-old brother had been dead for a year. Deputies found the teen and two other siblings, aged 7 and 10, living alone in the apartment.
Valdez just trying to fight to stay in the game. This one is a rocket into left and gone. 5-0 Atlanta here in the third inning, as Duvall goes deep.
Joe Buck on the call on Fox as the Atlanta Braves jumped out to a hot start in Game 1 of the World Series and never looked back, defeating the Houston Astros 6-2 last night. But the news was not all good for the Braves after starting pitcher Charlie Morton suffered a broken fibula and will miss the remainder of the series.
I just watched the video of that. It didn't strike me. It was just as a really nasty line drive comebacker. But
102
it just hit him
miles an hour.
Just hit him in the wrong spot.
Yeah. And he kept pitching for a while.
I know. That's he's tough. Thanks, Jen.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
How about this for giving back? Pittsburgh Steelers rookie Najee Harris returned to the California homeless shelter earlier this month, where he stayed at times when he was a child, to help renovate it. Fox News says Harris partnered with Lowe's to bring new life to the Greater Richmond Interfaith Program in Richmond, just north of Oakland. He and more than 100 volunteers removed the floors, walls, fences, gardens, play areas, and veterans housing. Said he's tried to go back to the shelter to help out as much as he could. He held his draft party there in April before the Steelers selected him in the first round, and after that took some kids at the shelter to see the San Francisco Giants. When Harris was 12, his mother and four siblings were homeless and moved from shelter to shelter around the Bay Area, at one point even living in a car. He would eventually attend the University of Alabama and win a national championship. Harris is now contending for the NFL's Offensive Rookie of the Year award. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.